every year, I think it's really important that we have one thing as a team we're focusing on. And what is that? And as I kind of peeled back the layers, I'm like, well, I'm a big sports person. I love sports. You know, if you know sports or you know football, you have tons of plays, hundreds or thousands of plays. And then a game plan is a series of plays put in a certain order to go against, to accomplish a goal, right? Winning a game.
For sure.
And I realized, like, okay, here's what these are. These are game plans. And we define a game plan as these are our fun combinations of education, rituals, and behaviors aimed to help our team grow. And so this was like a, oh, okay, I believe in this. We're gonna do this, but we need to formalize this. And in the last year, your team, learning development, as that team got built out, and I handed over fundamental excellence, what came about it was courses of like mastery of like, hey, here's how you learn, here's how you develop communication skills, professionalism, vision. And what I realized as I was doing this work, I'm like, oh. Before we didn't have a team where I could be like, cool, make a whole lesson plan or a game plan of NASA. Like I'm doing this shit on the fly. Now I'm like, we have a whole team. Let's formalize this so that as something comes up, we actually hand it to a team to make it come to life. And so the game plan is like the, how do we help our team grow in a really tangible way?
Welcome to the Culture Gooder Podcast, a behind the shades look at creating and changing culture inside of Gooder sunglasses.
What's up, listeners? Welcome to the Culture Gooder Podcast. This series, we're talking about our brand directive. So if you haven't, go back and listen to episode 85. But our brand directive is made up of four articles. It is our ethos. That's aspirational. That's why we exist. Our playbook, actionable. That's how we behave. Our anchors, foundational. That's what we need to do to succeed. And sunglasses, tangible. That's what we make. Today, we are talking about Article 2, the playbook. This is actionable and how we behave. Sean, how are you doing today?
Excellent. Good to see you, Stephen.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Stoked to jump into this. It was really fun to talk about ethos and the spirit of the brand. But I think what, you always talk about why, how, what. And the playbook is really a lot of the how, right? The actionable stuff. How we behave, how we turn things from that sort of aspirational thing into something actual. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, any number of quips I could say is, ideas are cheap, execution's everything, should is a banned word, done is better than perfect. But yeah, I think what has set our culture apart is our ability to take the fun, fluffy stuff like ethos and fun authenticity and make fucking behaviors out of it is why we get to do this as much as we do.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it's rare when someone has a clear answer to, like, if I say, Stephen, what does culture mean to you?
Well, we define culture as the shared behaviors, rituals, game plans, and anchors of our team.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So that's really something, right?
Yeah. And if you I could go and define behaviors. That is the way our team acts on the daily. Rituals, the practices we regularly practice together. Game plans. This is the fun yet tactical lesson plans that we use to help our teams grow. Anchors, the four sectors of our brand that hold us in place and we use, we make decisions based off of. And our team, that's everyone currently at Gooder in our ecosystem.
I'm glad you ripped those off because, I thought you might have definitions filled as other words as well. Yeah. So as we go from definitions to something definite, that means we need to behave in a particular way, right? We have Brené Brown defined it as supportive or slippery behaviors, and, that works for us. So what are some of the behaviors that are supportive of our culture at Gooder?
Yeah, I think I love the idea of, you create the value of the fun and authenticity, and then you get to define what they mean. And a lot of times I think when you hear brand's values, you kind of think like, oh, it's freedom. It's like a bald eagle poster on the wall. And you're like, what does that mean? And so, we've done the hard work. I think from an actual tactical behavior standpoint, we have probably thousands at this point, but I think the root is we had to draw the distinction between we're a fun brand, not a party brand, right? And I think that's a really important thing. We take pride in our work. The story that would I think illustrate what we think is fun is, you know, we think celebrating the work over the results is fun. And if you're a runner, or you are a cyclist or an actor or somebody who's made an album, you can use this analogy for yourself. But when you're a runner and you train for a marathon, you start training 6 months ahead of time. You're waking up every Saturday at 6 a.m. You're running 8 miles, then 10, then 12, then 14, then 16, then 18, then 20, then 22. You're doing speed work on Tuesdays. You're doing a tempo run on Wednesdays, doing an easy run on Thursdays. You're doing all of this work so that 6 months in the future, for 4 or 5 hours, you can run a marathon and you can feel fucking proud at the end, right? You can beat your chest because you worked your ass off. And you don't run a marathon because you love running a marathon. You run a marathon because you love training. That is it. Otherwise, it is a miserable experience. And at Gooder, we fucking love the work. We will go through any lengths for a joke. We'll go through any lengths to do really good work, right? So that is things like, we are on time to meetings. That is one way we instill it. When you make a presentation, you make sure it has images in the right place, right? This is like this idea and of ways that we create fun around this office. We do it in very tactical ways like that. Also, we make sure that I'm a big environment person. I think it's fun to show up to an office with, you know, tropical vibes, but functional places to work. I think it's fun to write really detailed briefs and hand them off to a creative team to make these weird ass images come to life. I think it's fun to, when we make our product, we make sure that there's three types of colors. There is mild, styled, and wild. Man, there is so many examples of behaviors now. And I think that those are just some of them, you know, authenticity, others, you know, I think things like talking to people, not about them. We don't allow gossip, you know, insert it. But I don't know, at our core, our ability to make tangible behaviors and then say, tell people like, make tangible behaviors, talk to people about them, leaders live into them is why we are here.
Right. Yeah, the actionable part of this is the thing that makes it real, right? Otherwise, we're just talking about, in theory, our culture is this way. But no, in practice, it's actually what we intend it to be by defining what those behaviors are.
Yeah, and I think where the magic really starts happening is when you learn a behavior and then you start creating a ritual out of it, you start doing it enough times, which is right, the second word here, you create a practice. And today, before recording this podcast, was downstairs. We have a thing called Marketing Blueprint, which is we have milestones for how we like build marketing plans for a year. And this is something we've rolled out new. It's over the past year. And people would present, give feedback, present, give feedback. In the first 6 months, I was like, I gotta step to this mic and fucking be critical of what's going on because I needed to be critical. And today I sat down there, fucking, it was an incredible presentation by a lot of people, our B2B marketing plan for this year. And I was overwhelmed with gratitude of sitting there like, oh man, I gotta step to a mic and like give praise. But that praise came because a lot of people develop really good behaviors. They did this practice, this ritual, numerous times, and then they're not magic, Sean, right? We know magic doesn't happen. All of a sudden, they're really, really good. And that right there is the other thing. I'm like, man, your ability to create a practice or a ritual is how you really get great at something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That made me think of, you know, every Gooder Stock for the last 3 years, we've done a talent show. And the last time I opened it up, I was just saying, you know, hey, we're about to witness the hidden practice of everyone here who's signed up for this thing, who wants to share something they love, right? And most of the time, we don't get to see all that work. You don't see all the miles that go in before someone's standing at the start line at a marathon or crossing the finish line for that matter, right? So really recognizing There's no really difference between the means and the ends here, right? So if you want to have something turn out really well, you need to be working really hard on it the whole way. And that's about, being clear about what are the behaviors I need to make this work. And then, like you say, setting up rituals and practices for what's the repeatable part of this that I need to really be honing so that I can show up and run, play, perform, speak, share in a way that really works for me as the person, and then for also whoever's listening or participating as the audience or customer.
Yeah, I think I could probably celebrate a little more if I'm being completely transparent. But I do think, yeah, I think the process is everything. I think that, man, at the end of the day, I can work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and never finish all the work. And so that's very, very true. You need to set boundaries. That's really important. But you better love the work because it never goes away. And what you just said in there was something I was talking about very, very recently is you're training for a marathon. You get that race day. That's a really cool thing to work towards because I think also you need to ebb and flow. You can't just run. You can't just redline the entire time. I think that the Flamingo Awards is a really, we create certain things here, whether it's Gold Stars, Flamingo Award. We do create moments for people to kind of create a practice and work towards. And so I know, I guess for our listeners out there, it is important. Working is processes, everything, rituals, practices, and you need to, it's all ebb and flow. You can't run full speed all the time. So I think that I want to be very, very transparent on that. But what I'll say is the things that we've done the most, like product drops, we've launched over 700 products at this point. You realize like, oh man, it is like flossing your teeth or typing, man. You just forget you know how to do some of these things. We just forget we know how to do, which is part of the reason the whole brand directive came to be. Of like, oh, we kind of just forgot how important product and marketing is, and so this is also a refocus of our ability to bring this whole brand directive is to bring these things back around of like, yeah, we've gotten so good at certain things, we've just forgotten that they're core anchors of our brand.
Right, exactly. Well, in the definition of culture, shared behaviors, rituals, game plans, anchors of our team, shared in there is really important, right? When you speak to shared rituals, like what are some of the key shared rituals we have as a company?
Yeah, right. I mean, for product, it's launching products. That's a, there is a giant, like the next actions to make that happen. For every product launch, we have to create content for it. There's put it on the website, social media. So like all of those things are in fact their own ritual. We have a thing called Marketing Blueprint, which the meeting I was talking about that I experienced today is part of that, of making marketing plans for seasons. We have TWC, which is our staff meeting, which we do 24 times a year. AMP, which is our review system, our performance review system we do every trimester now. Gooder Stock every trimester, a rolling 36. So we do every month, we close the month financially, we put our budget in for month 36, right? These are all things that touch product marketing, people, operations that we do on repeat. That you may think that month end close financially is not as sexy as TWC. You are fucking wrong, because without month end close, nobody gets paid. So you better think it's cool.
Yeah. In your talk, you mentioned, our finance team went from 2 to like, what, 34, right? That didn't happen on accident.
Yeah, with operations all in was, man, I don't have it in front of me. I would think it's how we thought of operations. But yeah, basically from 2021 to today for operations and finance, we probably went from about 15 all in to 50. And that was my fault of not placing the priority there sooner. And once I saw that that needed to happen, it was impossible to see. We'll get to that in anchor, so I don't want to go down that path.
Sure.
But yeah, it is. But yeah, all these rituals are important, not just the flashy ones. And I think the thing that I really uncovered, Sean, and the whole brand directive is the reason that I think people latch on to our employee summit Gooder Stock as a core of our culture, which it is, and TWC, our all employee meeting, as core to our culture, which it is, and AMP, which is our performance review system, core to our culture, which it is. these people things are some of the only things that the entire company does together. And so like we have those connecting. Not everybody works on a product launch necessarily, or POs or month end close. And so it does make sense why we think, and this is not just a Gooder thing, that we think that these things are the culture. It's like, well, those are a very important part of the culture, but that's just part of the culture.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, so if we get to the third thing, we've talked about shared behaviors and rituals. Third is game plans. And that's something, while I might not use a game plan the same way that you do, or that ops does, or that finance does, the game plan itself is something that we all share. So can you talk about the kind of the philosophy behind that and how that plays out in the real world in our company?
Yeah, game plans is one of the more newer things, or the game plan itself, the word game plan was more new in this brand directive. And I think as I was doing this whole exercise, defining all of our words in our culture, where do they feel, I realized, I'm like, hey, if they don't have a home in this brand directive, if they don't fit in one of the articles of ethos, playbook, anchors, or sunglasses, then if they don't fit there, they don't belong. And so if I want them there, I need to define them clearly. And that's where kind of this came from. And for everybody, you know, a game plan, for the past few years, we would pick something every year to focus on as a company. And it started back in 2020. Like, hey, that year was like, we wanted to focus on clarity. We wanted to make sure everybody understood their roles, what their impact was. And then, you know, we did vision. And then in 2021, we did, 2022, we did this thing called NASA. I don't want to go into why we use space analogies so much here. We just fucking do. It's a whole diatribe. But NASA stands for Insights, Agility, Scalability, and Accountability. Insights, just like every other word, just make it up to work, whatever acronym we need, like 4S. But insights, so this was a thing that I believed, hey, we needed to use our insights, act with agility, focus on scale, have accountability, because we were growing really, really quick, like a rocket ship, and we needed to scale appropriately. And so as a whole company, we focused on this thing, NASA. And as I was doing this, I was like, well, where does something like NASA live inside of our brand directive? This past year, it was fundamental excellence, which is communication, professionalism, and vision. And that came about because I felt like we had gotten far away from kind of our core. And I realized, I'm like, well, every year, I think it's really important that we have one thing as a team we're focusing on. And what is that? And as I kind of peeled back the layers, I'm like, well, I'm a big sports person. I love sports. You know, if you know sports or you know football, you have tons of plays, hundreds or thousands of plays. And then a game plan is a series of plays put in a certain order to go against, to accomplish a goal, right? Winning a game. And I realized, like, okay, here's what these are. These are game plans. And we define a game plan is these are our fun combinations of education, rituals, and behaviors aimed to help our team grow. And so this was like I believe in this. We're gonna do this, but we need to formalize this. And in the last year, your team, learning development, as that team got built out and I handed over fundamental excellence, what came about it was courses of like mastery of like, hey, here's how you learn, here's how you develop communication skills, professionalism, vision. And what I realized as I was doing this work, I'm like, oh, before we didn't have a team where I could be like, cool, make a whole lesson plan or a game plan of NASA. Like I'm doing this shit on the fly. Now I'm like, we have a whole team. Let's formalize this so that as something comes up, we actually hand it to a team to make it come to life. And so the game plan is like how do we help our team grow in a really tangible way?
Yeah. And what I love about that is that not only does everyone who is here for it, you know, whenever it was rolled out, understand it, but that gives us real clarity on what does it mean to be onboarded at Gooder. You know, you have to learn what are these shared behaviors, what are these rituals, what are the game plans, what does that mean? Because while everyone has a different role, we can't possibly onboard them into all their particular roles. But what we can do really well is onboard them to understand these game plans so that they can apply them to their roles.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the things that I was really going for with this whole brand directive is creating certain vernacular that we all can use together and understand. That itself is just a huge win. So somebody's like, what is this thing called NASA of Fundamental Excellence? Or now you can just make up, that is a game plan. And so as soon as somebody knows a game plan, they understand, oh, that is that's education, rituals and behaviors. It's going to help me learn a skill. And that alone, you at that moment, I have basically created a world where now I can just make up anything. That's the beauty is people now understand what a game plan is here.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a simple thing that you've stated for challenging the status quo, which has always been kind of a game plan of the company, right? What's your definition from typical to how do we get there?
Yeah. Challenging the status quo, I believe, is when you take something typical and make it remarkable. The brand started, this is a game plan. Challenging the status quo is also a game plan. It is when we are at our best. It's also the hardest. And when we started with product, we realized running sunglasses and all active sunglasses were ugly, expensive, and over-engineered. That was the typical. Our remarkable was by making them fashionable, affordable, and performance without the extra bullshit. We took something typical, made it remarkable. Our content, we realized all the content out there we thought was lame, boring, lame, and we thought all the content out there was were lame, safe, and predictable. And so when we started making our content in 2017, we made it absurd, irreverent, and content that stands out. And so, right, I think that we are at our best. And Sean, anytime, if anybody, at our company, whenever we do a lot of presentations, there's this problem solution slide we use a lot where it's like on the left is here's the three problems and here's the solutions. Let me talk about it. That is just typical to remarkable. Sometimes it's on a grand scale. Sometimes it's not. Every time you see that slide, that is challenging the status quo living.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I love about all of these game plans, fundamental excellence, NASA, challenging the status quo, they have the key that helps you to unlock what it's offering, right? So understanding, all right, I want to challenge the status quo here. How do I go from typical to remarkable? Well, I define what is typical, then I imagine what is remarkable, and then I look at what is the gap between those two. That's my action plan.
Yeah, and here's the really thing that is cool and frustrating at the same time. Everything, once you make it remarkable, eventually becomes typical again, and you have to challenge the status quo again. And that
is very
true. And so it's a fucking circle that never ends. So you better celebrate the work over the results. Boom, full circle right there.
Nailed it. I love that. Okay, so we've got our shared behaviors, rituals. Now we understand game plans. Next up is the anchors of our team. We have four now, but we kind of started with, maybe two, always kind of three, but let's talk through each of those.
Yeah, I think, we'll obviously do an entire episode on anchors specifically, but I've been guilty. This is actually, we haven't talked about this on the podcast. As I was doing this talk and I started out defining all the definitions, and I started like, all right, seeing it through, realizing we need to focus on, we're not talking about vision enough and the customers, and then putting together ethos and playbook and anchors. I've been saying for years, we're a third a product company, a third a market company, a third a people company. And it's no wonder until this past year, we've really struggled in the ops and scale side. I mean, I wasn't even really recognizing it as an anchor. And as I started putting together this talk, and I decided to, after I laid out the whole brand directive, do a oral history of the company year by year. And I started doing it in a really fun way. And I was like, I'm going to call out big data points for each of our anchors: product, marketing, people, ops. And originally how I was thinking about it was product was always from the beginning. Marketing really became an anchor in 2017. People, we didn't start having a staff till 17, working on really culture stuff till 18. I think it became a real competitive advantage is a word I would use in 2020. And then ops, we started working on 2021. And that's kind of how I was thinking about it in my mind. But as I started doing the work, I'm like, well, Stephen, fundamentally, all four anchors have been there from the beginning. All four of them, whether or not you chose to acknowledge them and invest in them or not, we've always made product. We make product for our customers. We've used marketing to get the right customers to buy the product. We use operations to make the product and ship it to the customer, and then people make it all work. And as I started going through this, I started looking at it year after year, that's the conclusion I came from. Like, well, Stephen, they've always been an anchor. You just have chosen not to acknowledge them as one. And again, once you see something like that, you can't unsee it. And this thing happened during my presentation where I had to take a hard left turn halfway through. And I kind of did the talk that way of like, oh, and here's what I learned. And moving forward, I'm not going to talk about year over year. Once I got through 2019, I'm going to talk about the four anchors, because this is why we led to this problem. And so I think out of the entire talk, the most important thing, other than the packaging of it, but like the most important thing is like the vision of the customer. The second, hands down, is the idea of anchors. It is the like people understanding that we have four distinct anchors of our business, legs that hold us in place, is so critically important. And it's something that I hilariously didn't like fundamentally recognize until very recently.
Yeah, I mean, I love that, because, you know, there was a minute there where you're like, oh, these are our anchors, these three, and then we're working on making ops that. But what you just said is like, well, okay, ops has always been a fundamental anchor of the company. It's just, where were we investing the most attention, effort, and energy, right? And that also tells you, as you look at this kind of map of the anchors of the company, you can see where the health is, or where the attention needs to go, right? Just kind of based on that, like, okay, how do we balance this all out to make sure that the organization as a whole is really healthy and balanced?
Yeah, and if you looked at our hiring, really heavy marketing, right, for the very beginning, the really heavy in like the people, and then ops was the last. But the gift that I've given myself is admitting when I'm wrong, and making the goal, getting it right over being right. And so when that happens, you're like, oh man, that is a giant mistake. And this is a giant mistake. Also, probably would have done it again to a certain degree, because when you first start a company, you got to make the product number one, and then you realize, oh shit, I got to sell all this product. And that just becomes your focus until you're stable. And so, you know, so it is what it is.
Exactly. Well, that's the blessing and curse of this giant game of whack-a-mole that's growing a successful business, right? When you're selling things out of your apartment, you're just like thrilled that you can sell anything at all, right? You're not thinking about every single aspect of quality control and all the other things that come when you start to grow and scale the way that we have.
Yeah, I think, man, also to kind of bring this into the world of, you know, if you're the CEO, founder of a company, you lead a team, you're an individual. This word culture, I think really understanding what culture means to you and your team, yes, but also I have friends who used to live in the Bay Area, now live other places in the world, and they work remotely for tech companies. And I've heard numerous people tell me a version of this, Sean. Oh, I work for so-and-so. There's no culture, but I get to work remotely and it pays me pretty well. I'm like, that's the culture. That is the culture. The culture is you want a company that pays you very well, doesn't make you come to the end of the office, and you can phone in if you choose. There is nothing wrong with wanting that culture, but that is not that's not a culture. That is the culture you are choosing. And so,
right.
And so I've had these conversations. I'm like, cool. They're like, well, you know, it'd be great to be able to blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, you can leave. Yeah, I don't want to go into the office. I said, well, then you gotta decide what culture you want.
Right. Yeah. It's like the not choosing is a choice kind of thing, right? You're like, the default is, it's still a default.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still a default. So anyway, I think that's a really important piece of this. And like understanding, all right, what are the core pieces of your culture? How do you define it? And I think Seth Godin says it in a way of like, people like us do things like this. And our culture very much lives out. Like, people like us show up and present really, really well. It's part of our culture. People like us care about doing really good work. People like us come into the office every Tuesday and Thursday because there's no remote work option in California. Or sorry, at Gooder. I think you run a great company that has 100% full remote. That's just not our culture. And I think listeners out there, you need to decide what type of culture do you want and what are you willing to give up for that culture?
Well said. Well, people like us always check to see if we made sure we covered everything. So anything you want to circle back on before we jump?
No, I mean, I think the very, like, the definition and for culture, right? And like, it's like our culture playbook. So, but it is like the shared behaviors, rituals, game plans, and anchors of our team, right? Shared and team kind of hold each side, I think is just a really important thing for everybody to understand. We are sharing all these things. We are all in this together. You know, the word playbook we define as the detailed catalog of our culture. And so this is really getting down into the nitty gritty of it. But I encourage everybody to just think about the type of culture that they want to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. All right. Well, thanks, Stephen. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be sure and join us next time. We're going to dive in deep on all the anchors. Until then, be excellent to each other.